Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, a podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the podcast that just, bro, not the podcast, recap the series that just ended, and preview the series that's about to start for the Boston Red Sox. I'm your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined, as always, by Bailey Von Schneider. Bailey, happy to have you back after a couple episodes of fill-ins there. Glad to be talking to you again.
Yes, I'm sorry. It's just been, work's just been crazy, but I've got a two-week vacation, so I'm bringing the mic with me. So the next couple series, I am ready to go.
Fantastic. All right. Well, another nice little win for the series win for the Red Sox against the AL East.
So love
let's
it.
Dive on in. First matchup, Waka versus JT Chargois. Sort of, really, Yarbrough, but yeah. Chargois got the first inning. Mm-hmm. Waka, six innings pitched, four runs, four earns on five hits, one walk, six strikeouts. Strom then followed with a scoreless inning. Brazier then entered and imploded all over himself, giving up three hits and a walk and four runs. And then Barnes and Whitlock were able to finish it off. Whitlock for his sixth save. We had three hits from Kike Hernandez and Plawecki, two hits from Pham, Verdugo, and Bogarts, and dingers from Cordero and Bogarts. But first, how about your thoughts on Waka's start?
I think it was fine. Like, he definitely went six innings, like four earned. Again, if this is somebody who's your fourth or your fifth starter, you can't really ask for much more. You can't really ask for much more of what, you know, Michael Waka has given the Red Sox at all this season. He has been nothing but steady. He's been everything that we could have asked for and more in the signing. So I have no problems with it. And he did everything to, you know, keep the Red Sox in the game.
Yeah, gave up a couple homers here, but everything else was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Five hits and six innings is not so bad, especially with only one walk. Six strikeouts was nice. Everything else was pretty good. Just got touched with the long ball there, which was kind of all over the place this series with both teams. So I thought this, yeah. It's kind of a nice little start for Waka.
Yeah.
On the offensive side, though, Franchi is hot again.
Yes.
Question is, though, with that, you know, the defensive woes there, Does he have a spot on this roster? And I don't necessarily mean starting, but just does he fit in somewhere in this roster for 2023? Or is he just kind of the guy?
I think the problem, as you did say, is the defense. But I think he's a really good bench bat for the Red Sox to have. And there is still so much potential in that. Like the power, like that home run he hit, like it's easy power. There's a lot of it. So I like the idea of keeping him around, especially if you, like, Hyun's got so much money to go to work with, you know, this offseason. Barely anybody under contract. He's got so much to do and figure out. But I love the idea of having Franchi there when you have, like, a really solid, you know, rotation of people to, you know, actually play for the Red Sox next year, you know, from... you know, 1 through 9 in the order, that this would be a great piece to have on your bench. So, but yeah, you are right. The defense is just terrible everywhere he plays. And that's the issue.
Yeah, the consistency also, I think, like you said, would be perfect for that, the kind of bench role. And
yeah,
if you don't have to rely on a lot of innings from him at first, then I can see, like, in a pinch, if it's just kind of like, you know, a late inning pinch at bat, and then just based on that, you had to use him for like an inning at first, but like mainly using him as like depth outfield for next year. I can kind of see that. But I'd like to see the power keep going, because I feel like when he was hot that first run through with the Red Sox in the first half, he wasn't really hitting a lot of homers. He was hitting a lot of doubles. It was kind of not displaying the massive power that we were kind of hoping would be there, but he's hitting more home runs now in this stint, so kind of hoping that he's just kind of building on some of that success, and we can see some of that come put on display in this hot streak, and we'll see how long this lasts.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think it is streaky, and that's the problem. But streaky works if it's your fourth outfielder or your backup first baseman, for sure. Like, that's exactly what, you know, JBJ was supposed to be for the Red Sox this year. And that's exactly what he is for Toronto right now. He's being what he's supposed to be. And that's what he was supposed to be for the Red Sox this year, you know? It's just injuries and this and that, and everything's just sort of crumbling. It was a big part of the issue for, you know, JBJ being thrust into a role like that he's really not made for at this part of his career.
Yep. Exactly. Fully on board.
Yeah. But we had a fantastic start from Rich Hill. We had Rich Hill versus old friend Springs in a 5-1 win for the Red Sox. Hill, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 11 Ks. I mean, this might be the best. Like, they were talking pretty much the whole game about this might be the best start he's had since, you know, the 2018 World Series, where he was mowing down the Red Sox. And then, you know, there was the questionable call from Roberts to take him out of the game, you know, but that's the nature of the sport nowadays, you know. So an amazing start from him. And then Familia, who's been, you know, outside of one outing, has been pretty decent for the Red Sox, you know. And Schreiber, of course, once again, finished it off. He picked up his 5th save. Verdugo had a great day for himself. Another 2-hit game for him. McGuire and Cordero, one of which was a homer for Franchi, showing off that power. I pretty much just told you my thoughts, but how did you feel about what we saw from Rich Hill on the mound?
Yeah, that was awesome. This was the kind of start that I didn't know that he had in him anymore.
Right?
And this was just really cool to see. Like, 7 innings, 3 hits, was just complete domination. Like, wasn't allowing anything. And especially coming into it, too, I was really expecting, like, the complete opposite, because the Rays had fully stacked a right-handed lineup
against
them. And Hill's splits, I think, was pretty stark between righties and lefties, and what was exactly the reason why Tampa had just, like, fully beefed a right-handed lineup here in this start. So I was like, well, you know, it'd be great if we could get through, like, 5 and, you know, keep it close, turning it over. And just was completely like, okay, I see you, challenge accepted. And was like, all right, see if you can touch this. And it was just absolutely dominant. It was awesome to see.
I think we got to give a little bit of credit to McGuire as well. Like, I think since he's come, like, he's great behind the plate. I think he called an amazing game. I think the pitch Mitch was just brilliant. So, like, I think these are things that we're seeing that we lacked with Vasquez. I don't think that Vasquez necessarily ever called a great game, you know. So I think it's nice to see someone behind there. And you can roll with someone who, you know, maybe isn't hitting the best when they're calling a great game, because there's a value in that, you know. But I mean, again, he had two hits in the game, so like he was also contributing at the plate as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, we always heard pitchers liked pitching to Vasquez because of his defense, but we didn't hear a lot about the game calling ability there. It was always just his defensive ability to keep everything in front of him. But we are seeing that with McGuire, and that's something definitely to watch going forward.
Yeah, and then speaking to Rob Bradford about playing in 2023, Hill did outline a plan for essentially a very extended spring training-like schedule with extra time to ramp up and then committing to a roster around the All-Star break to conserve innings and energy, which is like an interesting way of going about it. And I guess when you are as old as Rich Hill, you can sort of figure this out. But like, do we think that that's something that the Red Sox would try to do, you know, sort of like mid-season acquisition of Rich Hill?
It's not a bad idea at face value.
Yeah.
And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I feel like this team is going to look so different next year.
Yes.
Oh my God, I think it really fully, I don't know if I'd be able to like be like, oh yeah, no, that totally makes sense until I actually see what the team looks like at the All-Star break next year.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the starting pitching is going to look like, but you never can have enough of that.
I mean, when Jacob deGrom is starting the All-Star game for the Boston Red Sox, you know, you're not going to need Rich Hill, you know.
Exactly. But you never know with injuries. So it's like go into like start the season and be like, no, we're totally good. We've got like 6-7 deep. We feel strong about it. And then half of the starters that they have go down and you're like, hey, actually, you know, it'd be kind of nice to have a guy like that. So
yeah,
I feel like for his plan, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel like it would be just a wait-and-see thing for the Red Sox. But, you know, if they're in a spot for a guy like that, I think it would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, true. I mean, it's good for him. It's an interesting way of trying to go about it.
Yeah. Game three today. This one, not as fun.
No.
Pivetta versus Kluber. Pivetta went 5 innings, gave up 8 hits, 5 runs, all earned, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Sarmura followed. And he allowed 3 runs. Then Brazier was able to work a scoreless inning. Then Davis came in, finished it off, gave up 4 runs, 2 of them earned. Offense had a nice little day, though. Bogarts had 3 hits. Pham had 2 hits. Arroyo and Dalbec and Cordero, JDM. Sorry. Arroyo and Dalbec also had 2 hits. Cordero, JDM, and Pham all had dingers.
Mm.
3 solo shots for them. What were your thoughts on Pivetta's start?
Man, it's just so, it's been so hot and cold for, you know, for Nick Pivetta this year. And like, you look at it and you're like, oh, okay, like, sure, it was fine. Like, 5 innings, not the best, you know, 5 runs, 3 walks, he had 4 Ks. This is just like, this seems like a second half of the season Nick Pivetta start. And when he's your 5th or something and you're rolling with that, you're like, sure, fine, whatever. But again, it's just because the rest of the rotation really isn't rounded out well to just say, oh, yeah, not a bad start from Nick Pivetta as your number 5, and you get a couple gems thrown in there. But, you know, when it is a little more heightened when, you know, he's supposed to be one of your better pitchers this year and he was so good, it's tough to say. And he just frustrates me. Like, when he doesn't have a fastball, when he's throwing, like, 91, 93, he's just not good. You know, he needs the fastball to be working for him in order to have everything else work. So it's just frustrating at times watching someone like him pitch.
Yep. Completely agree. And the way that the Red Sox offense has been going lately, 5 runs isn't a huge hill to overcome. Like, I mean, obviously they were able to get 4 here.
Yeah.
So they were able to kind of climb back into that. 3 solo home runs. They were able to get a couple more guys on base.
Yeah.
It's kind of a whole different ballgame there. So if Pivetta is your 4th, 5th, it's not an awful start. That was enough to kind of keep you in the game, but not when you have an entire rotation full of 4th, 5th starters. You're hoping for a little bit more there.
Absolutely.
And then hopefully somebody gets on base for one of those homers and they're not all solo shots.
Yeah, then the game looks a little different.
Yeah. So my follow-up note here on this game was going to be a follow-up about the middle relief and how bad it's been. And is it time to make some changes? And in the couple hours since I wrote this, they are starting to make some changes.
Yay.
So Austin Davis and Sawamura have been DFA'd. It has being reported that Zach Kelly is one of the names coming up. Hopefully Frank German and Edouard Pizzardo, one of them, will be the other. How do we feel about those changes kind of finally being made here in the middle relief and getting some new fresh names here?
Long time coming, I think. Very excited. They've been just playing really, really well down in Worcester. Like, they've deserved this, you know, the guys that are going to be coming up. And people like Austin Davis and Hiro Kazusawamura have just not been performing. So maybe they'll clear waivers and they'll go down there in Worcester. Maybe they can figure some things out. Maybe they could be a part of the 2023 roster. But I think it's good to see these guys and see what they can do. I'm excited for a lot of changes. I know we expand to 28 shortly, I think. I'm not sure exactly if that's a September 1st thing. But then hopefully we're going to be seeing Tristan Casas soon. Or Connor Wong has just been absolutely killing it down there. So I'm excited to see some of these changes because some of these things can really help benefit us for 2023. Because, like you said, this team is going to look a lot different, you know, come, you know, spring training.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see what these guys can do. None of them are on the 40-man roster, but I didn't think that should have been something holding them back from being called up, like, a week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you were getting anything out of these guys that are being DFA'd anyway.
True.
So I'm excited to finally see them and see if they can contribute to basically carve out their path for a roster spot for next year. So,
yeah.
Really excited to see that. And like you said, hopefully we get to see Casas and Wong here following them shortly as well. So, fun things. Who is your MVP of the series?
I think I had to go with Rich Hill. I mean, yeah. Dick Mountain was doing some great things in that start, and I was very excited to see it.
Yeah, shout out to Franchi. He had a nice little series, but sure. Rich Hill's the man for this one.
Absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it for this series against the Rays. We'll take a quick break, come back, and preview the series against the Twins.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
All right, the up-to-the-minute standings here in Major League Baseball. The New York Yankees are still leading in the American League East at 78-50. The Rays are second, 7.5 back at 70-57. Blue Jays 9 back, 68-58. Orioles 10.5 back at 67-60. The hottest team in the American League since the All-Star break, I believe.
Wild. And they gave away. They sold. They sold.
Nuts. Ugh. Don't understand it. Yep. And then the Red Sox in fifth, 16 back at 62-66. They went now head to Minnesota to face the second place in the AL Central Twins at 65-61. Pitching matchups here, we have Bayo versus Bundy, Crawford versus Archer, and then Waka versus Joe Ryan. How do we feel about those matchups?
I'm feeling pretty good. Bayo's looked good. Like, and anytime he has had a little bit of struggle, there's been a lot of bad luck involved. I'm really, really excited about this guy going forward, especially into 2023. So I think he's going to have a really good start. Cutter Crawford has been, you know, solid. He'll have his ups and downs. But again, this is a rookie thrust into a situation that, you know, probably if healthy doesn't happen. So I'm actually really excited. And Waka has been, you know, Waka has been everything we could have asked for and more. So I'm excited about this series, you know, in Minnesota.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about these two. I was obviously Bayo's last start was incredible.
Yeah.
Want to keep that going.
Absolutely.
Crawford, like you said, kind of inconsistent, mm-hmm. but Bundy hasn't really been very good.
No.
Archer hasn't been good since like 2013.
Joe Ryan's good though.
Yeah, Joe Ryan is good.
Yeah.
That's going to be a really fun one to watch.
Yeah.
That one is easily the best matchup, but the other two I think are definitely toss-ups because everybody's kind of inconsistent. But I think the Red Sox could have an upper hand with, like, if Bayo repeats his performance and Carter Crawford could be, like, a little bit more consistent, then they should have the better starters in those two games. So then it'll all come down to the offense. And then lineup that the Twins are rolling out there, Luis Arraez leading off, Carlos Correa, Jorge Polanco batting third, Jose Miranda batting cleanup, Nick Gordon fifth, Gio Urshela sixth, Max Kepler seventh, Gilberto Celestino eighth, and Sandy Leon ninth. It's not a whole lot there.
No, there's really not. There's Carlos Correa, but that's a... And Arraez has had a pretty good... Isn't he leading in batting still?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he's a tough out.
Mm-hmm. But again, this should be a team that the Red Sox can handle. And I do love that the Red Sox are not playing great. 62-66. You know, they're under 500, but we're talking about, you know, only a couple of games really off the pace of the Twins, and the Twins are pretty much second in their, you know, the American League Central, and that just proves how crappy that American League Central really is.
Yeah, that's a weak division there.
Yeah, man, the Red Sox are just, again, underperforming like crazy, but again, in the toughest division in baseball, so...
Yeah. What do you predict for this series?
Yeah, I think it could be a 2-1. I think the Waka Joe Ryan game, it could go either way, but I think that's going to be their most difficult one. So that's one I'm predicting that they could lose. I think they'll handle Bundy Archer without a problem. So I'm saying 2-1, and I'm thinking that Rafael Devers is going to start coming out of this slump. So I'm excited to see what he can do in Minnesota.
Yeah, I got 2-1 for the Sox as well. And I'm going to go Kike Hernandez for my MVP. He's been kind of... Feels like he's been getting stronger and stronger since he came off the IL. And he's got a couple dingers. So I feel like he's moving in the right direction. I had 3 hits in game 1 of this series. So I feel like he's got that momentum going.
Absolutely.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Keep your ears tuned to this podcast feed for all the other great pods we keep pushing out. You can find us at the Over the Monster website where we write some stuff sometimes. You can also find us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me at Spoke Keats. You can find Bailey at Fraulein89. Bailey, do you have anything else you want to plug?
No, just follow me on the Twitter.
Perfect. That's going to do it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you later in the week to recap the Twins and preview whoever is next. I forgot to look it up.